steps in for Dez Bryant. And we'll get to Dez Bryant because Dez Bryant thinks he has a good shot to play this season before the season's over. We'll talk about that coming up in just a little bit. The rest of the defensive line, he's got Danny Shelton at nose tackle. He's got John Hughes on the other side. The outside linebackers, Kruger and Nate Orchard. The inside linebackers, DeMario Davis and Christian Kirksey. Is it Chris Kirksey or Christian this
Christian
year?
Christian this year.
It's Christian this year.
This year. Hasn't, yeah. We haven't been notified by PR.
Correct. We haven't seen an updated media guide yet. Interesting that they go with Kruger and Orchard, giving Ogba, I guess, a little bit more time to develop.
Yeah, and that's exactly what McMenamin said in the in his excerpt below why he's picking Orchard to start opposite Paul Kruger. And I think it's true. And this is one of those things where while Nate Orchard and Paul Kruger may trot out there for that first rep and maybe even the second rep in base defense, for all we know, when we go sub or whatever package we're going to use on that first third down of the season, Emmanuel Ogba might jog in. So essentially he's going to be starting in a group or take reps in a certain grouping or a certain package. He may not just start the season in that base package. And like we talked about yesterday, Orchard made strides to be productive and set the edge, which, you know, we weren't doing very well throughout the season. He stepped up both physically and productively in that defense to kind of deserve the nod. And I think this is an opportunity for Ogba, A, to transition from a hand-on-the-ground guy to a stand-up outside linebacker to gain ground on Orchard so that you're seeing more of Ogba earlier in the season. And I think Orchard has the opportunity to go, hey, I'm penciled in as a starter, but on the end of this pencil, one there's lead, one there's an eraser. That coach can scratch out my name and bump up Ogba very quickly.
Sure.
So he has to start the season fast, and I would be surprised if the communication between Ray Horton and Nate Orchard, you know, on a personal basis is, hey, we're going to go with you, but these are the things that I need to see. And if we don't, and I see these from Ogba, we're going to start rotating you guys. So it's just something where Orchard's got to continue to progress as a pro, and Ogba's got to learn to be a pro.
Yeah. Again, one of the many, many storylines to look at as training camp gets set to go 1 week from tomorrow. The secondary is going to be interesting. You know, I mean, obviously at the one corner, he's got Joe Hayden. Now, I'm very interested to see if Joe Hayden will be ready to go 1 week from tomorrow.
We'll hear from, I'm sure there's two people that we are definitely going to hear from. There's a lot more on Friday, next Friday, a week from tomorrow. One is going to be Isaiah Crowell for a lot of reasons.
We might hear from him Thursday after they run.
You're right.
They might get
the other is going to definitely be Joe Hayden. Like, where are you at? What have you been doing? Because I think that's the million-dollar question. What has Joe been able to do in preparation for this football season to get his body physically and mentally ready? Have you been running full speed? Have you been changing direction? Have you been working on your ball skills? Because those are the things that Joe struggled with at times last year, even before the concussions and the injuries.
And here's a guy, I almost think you've got to take the mindset with Joe like he's a rookie. You can't afford for him to miss any time.
No.
He needs to be ready to go from the get-go next Friday.
And the reason why is not so much that he needs those reps, but because of Joe and who he is and the position that he plays, I always say wide receiver and cornerbacks are the prima donnas on the football field.
Sure.
You know, they're the ballet dancers. They want to look pretty and, you know, with their tassels and their towels looking perfect and their socks and wristbands. They're those guys. And the one thing that comes with that, both at wide receiver and cornerback, is you have to have a short memory. So the one thing that you can't be is the faint of heart when it comes to confidence. You need that confidence. And how do you gain that confidence? It's reps. It's doing it and doing it and doing it over again. And Joe Hayden's missed a lot of time of those game reps he missed last season and the entire offseason, where he wasn't going to get all the reps anyway, but just playing certain coverages, he's going to be asked to do, you know, new things because last scheme had him in, you know, that press man coverage all the time where it's what Joe does, but also Joe's got to be able to do what this defense does, because I think at least in year one, the path of least resistance for this team is buying it We need 11 guys, or say those 13 to 15 guys that are going to participate a lot of the time on defense, buying into Ray Horton's scheme. It's not about you. It's about this scheme. Because this scheme, as Ray Horton said, and I've seen it before, the scheme can win. And if the scheme can win, you're going to be in a lot of football games. And then it's for, then you go to the other side. Then it's Hugh Jackson and his scheme with RG3 and those wide receivers and running backs winning and putting points on the board. That's going to get you to the five-minute mark in the fourth quarter. Then it's going to come to crunch time on who can make that stop and who can make that play offensively.
Well, and let's not forget Joe Hayden's best year as a pro came under Ray Horton.
Absolutely.
And you would think he and Paul Kruger are going to be the two guys that have had a track
record
of success.
And Dez was the third, so it stinks to not have him too.
Exactly. So I think it's imperative that Hayden's out there next Friday. We'll see what happens. The other side, Pat has Tremont Williams edging out Justin Gilbert. The safeties, two new ones, Jordan Poyer and Ibrahim Campbell. That is a young secondary that has not been tested a lot.
It is. And another thing that I'll have my eyes on is Raheem Moore. Where does he fit? You know, is he rotating in? Is he a third safety? Or is it one of those situations where, kind of like Orchard and Ogba, not so much in the sense that it's a rookie, you know, learning the game and trying to take those reps away. But if Raheem Moore can just be consistent and there's, you know, a chink in the armor of what, you know, Ibrahim Campbell's doing, not fitting properly, not able to cover, not, you know, the speed of the game and taking the reps, you know, that he's getting, Raheem Moore's been there. And he can step in and do that. He can earn some of those reps away. And then by the time that third preseason game rolls around, who gets to start in that football game is probably very indicative of who's going to start, you know, week one at Philly.
On the special team side, he's got Travis Coons.
Really?
Travis Coons is your kicker? Yes. Andy Lee, breaking news, as your punter. Charlie Hewlett is your long snapper. And then your returners. Punt and kick. First with a kick, Corey Coleman. On the punt side, Justin Gilbert.
I like that.
And Pat says Gilbert's best chance to make the team might be through special teams.
And I wouldn't be surprised if, and I agree with Pat to a certain extent, but I would not be surprised if that was even flipped, where Justin Gilbert is returning kicks as he did last year, and Corey Coleman's returning punts as he did at Baylor.
And we saw some success with Gilbert.
We did.
I mean, there were a couple games where he averaged over 25 yards a return.
I'll take that.
Yeah. I mean, that's a couple years ago, you couldn't return a kick.
Right.
You were Captain Kneel Down or Captain Fair Catch. And this year looks to be a little bit different, which is good. We want to get your thoughts on that. Do you agree? Do you disagree? Who do you think will be in that starting lineup in Philly on September 11th?
One other bit of news, and we'll grab our break, and I think it's going to be a hot topic for us this show is, and it's not really news yet, but Josh Gordon met with Roger Goodell, was it yesterday morning?
Ian Rappaport is saying, and again, this is not coming from Berea. This is coming from Ian Rappaport from NFL Network. Sources telling him that Commissioner Roger Goodell met with Browns wide receiver Josh Gordon yesterday.
About reinstatement.
Regarding his return to football. Gordon can reapply on August 1st.
So that may be the guy that starts opposite Corey Coleman. Would change that. Pat McMenamin's...
Which... Hawk goes to the slot, which is probably a better spot for him.
Sure.
But
shakes up that group then. You drafted four wide receivers. You got Terrell Pryor and Andrew Hawkins.
Yeah, and again, that's coming from that's coming from the rap sheet, who's got sources that have told him that Josh Gordon met with the commissioner yesterday and can reapply for reinstatement on August 1st. So I guess we'll kind of see what happens there? Because that could change it. I mean, he would be late to the ball game. I mean, you would be a couple days late. But,
sure.
I mean, you'd
better
be about
late
a week
than never.
Late. Yeah. Well, I mean, that's you got to see what kind of shape he's in, or what.
And I think, and I know we got to grab a break, but
sure,
we'll talk about it after the break. But the approach to the approach to Josh Gordon becoming a Brown again wouldn't be that far from what you expect from the reps that Joe Hayden's going to get right out of the gates. Get him those reps, get him back into shape, get him back into football. And I think be around this new culture and being around these coaches. is going to give him an entirely different flavor from what he was accustomed to in his first 3 years in Cleveland.
All right, now it's knock on wood if he comes back. We'll discuss all that and more on a busy Cleveland Browns Daily here right here on ESPN 850 WKNR. Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR on this beautiful hot Thursday. It's going to get hotter.
That's right. 90s?
Yeah, all weekend.
Ugh.
Yeah.
I might try and golf. I don't care.
It doesn't bother me to golf.
No. I'm covered. As long as I'm covered up.
What do you mean by covered up?
I mean like hat, sunglasses, sunscreen, and then I wear like a thin undershirt underneath a light golf shirt.
See, I got rid of the undershirt a long time ago. I just go golf shirt and I sweat through it.
Yeah, I don't sweat. That's why I don't want to sweat through it.
Yeah, I'm all in. That's why you got to get the dry fit, because then you're good.
That's what I mean. That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, but like if you don't have the undershirt, like it'll dry out.
True. Well, I mean, I know. I get what you're saying. I have all that stuff. I got
go
to,
golf.
It's all Nike
go,
stuff.
When was the last time you golfed?
I actually played, when was it? Maybe last Saturday, maybe?
Nice.
Maybe Friday? I played 9 holes at Hilliard Lakes.
Nice. Little Augusta.
Yeah. I shot a 6 over with 2 doubles.
Not too shabby.
Yeah. Thank you.
Coolest. When was the last time you golfed?
It's been years.
Yeah. Last time I golfed with Coolest.
Yourself for that.
Yeah, I know.
Coolest golfed in jeans. Like it's 95 degrees outside and the guy's wearing long pants.
I'm a classy guy. What can I say?
It was a classy track.
I class up the track.
It was a classy track. No names, please. It was a classy track.
I'm sure it's somewhere Wilhelm's never played.
I agree.
I shot a 46 last night.
nice.
Yeah.
I drove by.
Won my
drove
match.
By Legacy and I thought of you.
We were on the patio till about 9:30. It was a beautiful night. A little breeze. Won my match.
46.
All was well.
It's not bad.
No, not too bad at all.
Any birdies?
I did. First hole.
Really?
I was
number one or number 10?
Number one.
Okay.
Literally.
On Legacy?
No, we played Sweetbriar last night. Which I think at times can be a tougher track.
I agree.
Especially when it's dry because the ball just rolls.
You gotta control the ball more at Sweetbriar.
Yeah. I got up on the first hole, hit the golf ball. I literally was 10 minutes late, 15 minutes late, and hit the ball right into the trees. I was like, sweet.
It's gonna be a long night.
Yeah. No warm-up. I'm already late. I'm a little flustered. I've got my phone still ringing because people still need answers on stuff for training camp next week and whatnot. I set up, and I hit my ball out, and it was just on the outskirts of the – I think it hit a tree and knocked out a little bit. Put it on the green 3 feet from the cup, put it in for bird, and I was like, away we go. That's how we're going to do this. Going forward, that's how I'm going to do it. Forget the warm-ups. Forget everything. Forget stretching. Just get up there and hit the ball.
See – I don't warm up. I am reluctant to arrive at a golf course early enough to throw a couple balls out on the green, the practice green, and putt. Cause I just when I want to golf, I want to go out and play golf, and I'm not good enough, or I don't play enough to actually care about my score. So I think like for me, my first two holes are the range.
Yeah.
You know, but I'm playing golf because I grow, like I'm a you know. I got to go. That's just the way my life is. I got to go here. I got to go here. I got to do this. I got to do that. That when I get there, I can't just pummel balls into no man's land and go, oh, that was a nice shot. Because just like Barkley in the Haney Project, he could do it on the range, and then he'd get out to the number one tee, and here comes the
I don't like wasting shots on the practice
I don't either. That's why I don't take a practice swing.
Yeah. I definitely don't. If I go out there and hit a few balls, like – if I go somewhere like super nice, private country club, whatever, I might hit a couple, but it'll be like my pitching wedge.
And you just want to enjoy the amenities.
Yeah, I'm like, all right, this is free. And
sure.
The range balls are nicer than the balls I have in my bag. Sweet. I'm going to take a few of those,
Pro
too.
V1. Pro V1 X outs.
I got to play, what did I play? Where the Memorial is.
Muirfield Village.
I got to play that. I have a friend that works there. Got to play it. I'm on the driving range, and I'm looking at the golf ball, and I'm like, these are like Titleist too. Yep. Going to put a few of those in the bag because I got a feeling today I'm going to need them on this track. Sure enough, I did. They came into play. Brian Vaughn tweets at the show, fellas, you're broadcasting from training camp Friday the 29th. We are broadcasting. We're just going to be doing our show from in here, though.
I don't practice believe... does not start till 3.
Correct. So we will be up in the dog bowl, but the guys will be out on the field and around to meet and greet you. So just a quick heads up on that. All right, we got to get a break in timeout for us. When we come back, we continue the Browns' 2016 opponent preview with the New York Jets as Eric Allen, the senior reporter for NewYorkJets.com, joins us. All that and more on a busy Thursday here on Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR. All right, back here with you on Cleveland Browns Daily here on ESPN 850 WKNR. Gibbs and Wilhelm today. Tomorrow, Dave DiNatale sits in the captain's chair with the glue, Matt Wilhelm. It'll be Dino and Matt for the next 4 days. And then 1 week from today, the band is all back together as Zagura, Wilhelm, and yours truly get you set for the 2016 NFL season coming up at 2 o'clock today. Our position preview, the Browns offensive line. Our CBD replay is at 2:15 with Bill Polian. And at 2:30, we preview the Dallas Cowboys with Todd Archer. Right now, we go to the hotline as our opponent previews continue. The New York Jets up this hour. And Eric Allen, the senior reporter for NewYorkJets.com, joins us on the hotline today. Eric, appreciate a few minutes of your time. Thanks for joining us.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me on. Football is almost here. Jets report Wednesday, July 27th, next week already.
So you guys report on Wednesday. Did you get a little downtime at least? Did you guys do you get the company shut down for a week, the week of the 4th, or do you work through that and you're on your own for vacation?
Yeah, this is the only time of year where I am very envious of the football side. They kind of shut it down for 4 or 5 weeks. It's not consistent like that in the content world because we're rolling out articles and videos each and every day, trying to do podcasts. Obviously, you guys know the business very well. So we don't get that prolonged break, but once they get back, the coaches, the scouts, the players, they'll get after it each and every day and have the long hours.
Now, Eric, walk us through something that's been a topic of conversation for you, the New York Jets, pretty much all offseason long, is the quarterback position. Where do you guys sit? Have they moved forward? And will open camp with Geno Smith? And also, where do things stand with Fitzpatrick as well, contract-wise?
There's really nothing to report at all as far as Ryan Fitzpatrick is concerned. In fact, Jets head coach Todd Bowles at the end of minicamp, guys, he said, listen, I'm not going to talk about it anymore. That was his final public discussion with the media before this break. The Jets reiterated throughout the offseason that they want Fitzpatrick back, and if he does resign, he will be this team's quarterback. But throughout the spring, Geno Smith took reps with the first team offense. He played well. This is his second year in Chan Gailey's system. And if Fitz is not back by Thursday, Geno Smith's going to continue to operate with that first-team offense. Now, we'll find out more when Todd Bowles addresses the media, I believe. Well, either Wednesday or Thursday when the Jets are scheduled to have their first practice. But really no news to report on that front. I know Fitzpatrick was out west this weekend, I think, for a golf tournament, and he said he didn't want to talk about it. So there's been really no news there. But the Jets, on their side, have always said that they want him back. Can they find a middle ground? And as you guys know, the team just struck a long-term extension with Muhammad Wilkerson. A lot of people out there wouldn't have thought that would happen prior to last Friday's franchise player deadline, but the Jets got that done quietly.
Yes, they did, and you talked about Fitzpatrick not wanting to talk about it, but someone who did, especially throughout this offseason, was Brandon Marshall. Has there been any other word out of that wide receiving core, either Eric Decker or Brandon Marshall, kind of continue to be a little standoffish, not getting their quarterback after the success that they had last year?
No, I wouldn't say that at all. And I don't know if the perception is like that out there. I think, Marshall and Decker were both here throughout the offseason, taking part in OTAs and mini camp. Marshall actually praised Geno Smith, said you could see the difference between last year as far as him being in the system, things like that. Those guys, no doubt about it, they love playing with Ryan Fitzpatrick. Fitz threw 31 touchdown passes last year, and I believe 26 of them combined to Marshall and Decker. They both went over 1,000 yards. Fitz passed for nearly 4,000 yards. So, yeah, they had great chemistry with the veteran quarterback throughout last season. But you got to remind folks, too, is that last year when we came to training camp, it was Geno Smith was the guy. And Ryan Fitzpatrick was this team's backup quarterback, and then we know what happened. Locker room altercation, Geno Smith breaks his jaw, and then Fitz had a career year in his 11th season with his 6th NFL team. But they both have been very positive throughout the offseason, both Marshall and Decker.
Eric Allen joins us, the senior writer for NewYorkJets.com, previewing the Jets, the Cleveland Browns' Week 7 opponent, if I'm – nope. 3, 6, 8, week 8 opponent. Sorry. That's what happens on a Wednesday before training camp starts. Eric, a big addition for this New York Jets team comes at the running back position with Matt Forte joining the running back field. What's his impact been like in the offseason, and what's his attitude and mindset been like in the times that you guys have gotten a chance to talk to him leading up to next week?
He's a consummate professional, and that's one of the guys that Brandon Marshall is really excited about as far as the Jets picking up in the offseason. Dual threat, he's led the National Football League in total yards since he entered the NFL back in 2008. And a couple years ago, he had over 100 receptions in a season. And the interesting thing about Forte, guys, is early on last season, the Jets really rode Chris Ivory. And then they developed into a passing offense down the stretch. Ivory, we know, we signed a lucrative deal with the Jacksonville Jaguars. But the Jets were awfully happy that Forte was there. Now, a lot of folks will say, well, is he on the downside of his career at 30 years old? Todd Bowles said, you look at this player. We don't look at him as a 30-year-old player. We look at him as a guy who's got a lot of productive years left, and I think he's going to be a perfect fit for Chan Gailey's offense because, you know, Gailey likes to throw the ball to the backside of the backfield, and Bilal Powell really provided a spark down the stretch last year. Forte can hammer it up inside the tackles, but also Gailey's going to use him as a pass receiver as well, create those mismatches against linebackers, and I can't wait to see how Gailey uses him because what he did last year with Eric Decker is a lot of people didn't see that coming. Is they didn't use Decker on the outside as much. They used him inside of the slot while Marshall continued to thrive on the outside. Now you're going to add a guy in here in Forte who can run the ball. He can pick up over 1,000 yards on the ground 3 of the past 4 seasons. And then at the same time, he's one of the best pass catchers we've seen in the National Football League over the past couple decades.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And Eric, in back-to-back drafts, the New York Jets have selected Buckeyes fairly early. This year, Darren Lee. Last year, Devin Smith. What's the impact you think Darren Lee can make as a rookie and the impact that Devin Smith can make returning from injury and finally being healthy going into this football season?
Yeah, let's tackle Devin Smith first. Unfortunately, he had a couple injuries during his rookie season and had the ACL tear in December, so he was not able to participate in any team activities during the off season. When is he going to be cleared as far as team activities are concerned? Because he's a guy the Jets think can really help them because he can take the top off of the defense, and you guys know that watching him at Ohio State. He was the best vertical receiver, I think, in college football before he came out. So we can really open up the field for these guys, but the key for him is going to be getting healthy. And I know he's going through his rehab, and he learned a lot of things over his first season. So we'll have to monitor that throughout the off season. The Jets definitely wanted to get faster and younger on defense, and especially at the linebacker position. They were really happy Darren Lee was sitting there at the 20th overall position. But I think he lands at a perfect spot, guys, because he's going to come in, won't have the pressure to start from day one. Right now, if you're looking at a depth chart, it would be David Harris and then Aaron Henderson, who joined a rotation with DeMario Davis last year, a guy you guys know a lot about there in Cleveland. But DeMario was the starter who got the majority of the snaps throughout early in the year. But late in the year, Henderson joined a rotation with Davis. So he'll open up next to David next to David Harris. And then Darren Lee can come in and be used in sub packages in coverage and also used as a blitzer. And then eventually he'll become a three-down linebacker. I think this is a perfect spot for him, but the Jets were really happy he was sitting there at the 20th overall selection.
Eric, on the defensive side of the football, Revis Island, a year older and I don't want to say struggled at times last year, but maybe looked a step slower, maybe starting to show his age a little bit, which means who's lining up on the other side is just as important, especially with the changes you guys have had there personnel-wise. You know, we know Buster Skrien well, Marcus Williams, D. Milner. Who do you expect to be the favorite to line up opposite Revis Island?
Yeah, it is a great question. I think the reports of Revis's demise are greatly exaggerated. I think a lot of folks continue to run a replay of DeAndre Hopkins going deep on Revis in a no-help situation back there in Houston. He had a solid year, guys. Still team high, 9 takeaways for the Jets. And I know it's not just about takeaways, but when you look at the opposing quarterback completion percentages when they're thrown against Revis, it's still one of the league's worst in terms of, picking on a quarterback. Darrell Revis is still one of the perennial corners, the top elite corners in the National Football League. But you bring up a great point. The Jets parted ways with Antonio Cromartie in the offseason. Buster Skrien, the former Cleveland Brown, who played across from Joe Hayden right there, he will get the first crack to play opposite Revis. Now, a lot of folks will say, well, he's perfect at the nickel position. He played really well for the Jets inside last year, and he doesn't have that great prototypical size as far as the height on the outside. But he is still going to get that first crack at cornerback. And he was very active, and you guys know this. He was very active with the Browns in terms of passes defended when he had that chance to play on the outside. So he's really excited about it. Other guy to really keep an eye on in training camp, I think, is D. Milner. Drafted a couple of years ago, number 9 overall out of Alabama. He's had the injury bug his first couple of seasons. But if he really develops, he'll give the Jets some options because potentially Milner could play on the outside and that could shift Skrien back inside as well. And you mentioned Marcus Williams. Marcus Williams is a guy who really took advantage of his opportunity on the field because playing mostly as a fourth cornerback last season for the Jets, he did have a team-high 6 interceptions. So he'll get in the mix as well. But, yeah, that is one of the training camp battles here with the Jets that's going to be highlighted throughout the summer.
Eric, one other name, you know, kind of near and dear to our heart here in the state of Ohio and kind of a surprise entrance into this year's draft, went undrafted, Buckeye Jalen Marshall. How has he been in that Jets system this offseason, and is he a guy that can actually make this football team?
I would say he could make the football team, and you guys know this watching him at Ohio State. I was surprised that he came out.
As was I.
You were just looking at it and saying, this guy's going to be the number one option on a top 5 football team. And then he only played 2 years there at Ohio State. But where he really can make a dent, guys, I think, if you're Jalen Marshall, is you're saying to yourself, I have a return shot here.
Yep.
Because the Jets parted ways, like I talked about before, with Antonio Cromartie in the offseason. He was their primary kickoff returner in terms of sheer numbers last year. Their punt returner was Jeremy Curley. Well, he departed in free agency as well. So there's a whole host of guys trying to get into the mix for those return spots. If Marshall can show something on special teams, they'll definitely have a chance to make this football team. I saw him make a few plays in the spring while he's absorbing the offense. Now we'll see what happens when the pads come on. But I think it's going to be huge for Jalen Marshall to make it down on special teams, and he'll certainly have his opportunity there.
Before we let you go, Eric, one final question. Obviously, you came within a game, really, of making the playoffs last year. What's the key to the New York Jets making the playoffs?
Wow. You know, Todd Bowles said it. He said the team made strides last year, but he wants to be in the playoffs every year and then to be able to compete for a championship. When I look at the Jets last season, I say they lost six games, five by a touchdown or less. They finished 3-3 in the division, including getting swept by the Buffalo Bills by identical 22-17 scores. So I think the Jets ultimately are going to have to improve in the division, and they're going to have to finish ball games better. And you talked about where the Browns fall on this Jets schedule. Guys, I don't think anybody on paper in the National Football League has a tougher earlier stretch as we head into the summer, when you're thinking about September, than the New York Jets. They open at home against Cincinnati Bengals. In week two, they have a short week. It's Thursday night in Buffalo against the Bills. Then in week three, they're in Kansas City against the Chiefs. They come home for a breather against the Seattle Seahawks in week four, and they follow that up with trips to Pittsburgh and Arizona. We're going to find out a lot about the Jets early on this season.
Yeah, I would say real quick you're going to know how good or bad the rest of the season's going to be after that first month and a half. Eric, appreciate all the time today. Continued success, and look forward to talking with you here once we get into the season, and especially that week leading up to Browns and Jets. Take care, my friend. Get a few more days of downtime before we get going.
Thanks, guys.
All right, that's Eric Allen, the senior reporter for NewYorkJets.com. We'll take a quick timeout. Coming up at 2 o'clock, we preview the Browns' offensive line in 2016. We have the CBD replay at 2:15. And at 2:30, Todd Archer will preview the Dallas Cowboys with us. All that and more on a busy Thursday. It's Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR. Jason Gibbs, Matt Wilhelm back here with you. It's Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR.
What is this song? Is this wrestling music?
Yeah, it is. This song's not horrible.
No, it's not bad.
No, it's not.
It's on my iPod.
I'll take it. Yeah. Just to get real angry and scream into a microphone.
It's Lemmy, man.
Who?
It's your boy.
Motorhead? No. What band is he in?
Motorhead.
Never heard of it.
What? This was for probably, and I'm not a big wrestling fan, but this is probably the greatest wrestling. Like, it was a team. It was Evolution. It was Randy Orton, Batista, Ric Flair, yes. And Triple H.
Yep.
This was their intro. It was awesome.
Very, very good.
This should. If I had to cast a vote for the new intro song for Cleveland Browns Daily, this might get the vote.
Who's running the board tomorrow, by the way, at 1 o'clock?
No idea. I'll be at the camping trip.
Dreamer.
Is it Dreamer?
I don't
know.
Are you guys coming out to the camping trip?
No.
I'm on vacation.
I don't get an invite from anybody for anything.
You can have my invite.
Hey, I will say this. You are going to, if you've never been to Clay's Park, have either one of you?
My wife, friends of ours went, and they invited us to come, like, you know, it was like a family trip.
Love Clay's Park. We'll take the girls next week when we get back from West Virginia.
The toys out in the water and stuff. Yeah. Yeah.
See, I think I've been there before in the fact of my family had a family reunion when I was like 10.
Totally makes sense.
And I think it was there. Don't they have like a giant, is there a slide into the one lake? Yeah, that's definitely
I like that
then.
Kind of stuff because it is my one, like whether it's a slide or a diving board or a high dive. It's, again, my favorite part of skiing is falling. So my favorite time to, like, you know, jump off of stupid stuff and know that I'm going to land somewhere safe is into water. So, like, cliff diving, waterfalls, I'll jump. As long as I see someone jump before me and it's not 4 feet deep, I'm going to jump.
At Lakewood High School, we had to take a swimming class. some kind of swimming. And, you know, I mean, I knew how to swim. I could swim everywhere. I'd gone through the ranks and was lifeguardish and all that stuff. So I got to take the water games class. Well, Fridays were free days. And literally the football coach would stand at the edge of the pool with a bucket full of footballs, and he'd throw them to you as you jumped off the high dive.
Oh, it's fantastic. Dude, did you see Mark, Mark Richt's video?
Oh, yeah.
Both at Georgia and Miami. I'm going to jump off and just kind of like make my splash.
Yeah.
But that falling backwards, doing that.
Somersault type deal.
I'm going to over-rotate, and I'm going to walk weird for like a week.
If I'm going to walk.
Correct.
I might be cracking my head.
Whatever.
It might be ending early. Yeah, no, just running off and trying to catch footballs.
That's awesome.
Oh, there's nothing better.
I just love a good, bouncy diving board. No matter how, like, you know, the four-footer, just going, 250 pounds going down, and I'm going to test how springy it is, and send me as high as you can and let me do swan dive, backflip, whatever.
So where we're going in West Virginia this weekend, we're taking our girls whitewater rafting for the first time. Monica and I have been.
Which we want to do.
Yeah, it's awesome. Can't recommend it enough. I think your kids might be a little young still.
I think so.
But not, you know what? You might be able to do the lowest one.
Right.
Which is
are you
going to
do the highest?
No, we're not.
Okay.
I've done it.
It's like what, a class?
Class five. Is
what will you do, threes?
We're doing a combination like 2, 3, and 4.
Okay.
There's a couple fours, but it's mostly 2s and 3s.
Okay.
It's for beginners.
Sure.
But it's not so beginnerish that, you know, like the level class ones.
It's actually exciting.
Yeah. Okay. The lady told us, she goes, if you sign up for the beginning one, you know, your kids are going to be bored. And I was like, well, I don't want that. But I don't want to have to be like trying to search for people in class 5 rapids to fall out of my boat either. Because we're taking a couple kids with us,
sure,
in additional. I'm like, I don't need that insurance risk or responsibility.
Yeah.
So, but where we're staying at this place, they also have a man-made lake. And they have all these inflatables. And they have a thing called the blob. And it's basically, you jump off of it. It's like a high dive.
Yeah.
And you shoot someone
else.
Yes.
I've seen those.
Can't wait. My 12-year-old's like, Gibby, I need you to be the jumper. Like, all day Saturday. You have to be the jumper.
So
I'm like, are you calling me fat? She goes, on this one, I am. You're going to be jumping,
falling off, swimming back, climbing up, jumping down. Yeah.
Yeah. Just okay. So she can sit on the end and I can launch her.
That's awesome.
That's all she keeps talking about. Every day I get a text. Can't wait for the blob, Gibby.
I've got a really cool picture from our trip to Lakeside of my, because like my son and my daughter are both like, you know, it's a swimming summer. Now
sure.
That they know how to swim, it's like whether it's our pool or friends' pools, the lake, the ocean, whatever, we've been everywhere. It's like they're mastering their cannonballs. And I have the perfect, like, my new thing is like to do the slow-mo video. So it's like run, 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 and then it's like, and then of them like, and I have the perfect screenshot of my son in this tight ball doing his cannonball.
And you got to do a cannonball, and you got to get the can opener going.
Oh, my can opener?
The can opener.
I have a sick can opener.
Yeah?
I mean,
good splash?
When we were in Boston at the hotel, I'm like, you guys want to see me get the roof wet? I mean, on like a two-story, so I was like, kaboom, you know.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I'm a good can opener guy.
What about you, Fontana?
We do a cannonball con. So Steph's uncle has a pool, and he has not yet put the diving board in yet, so that's a little tough, but we always do a cannonball contest between, you know, her family. So I am an expert when it comes to the cannonball.
Yeah, my cannonball explodes, like, outwards,
yeah,
whereas my can opener is for height.
See, I go height with my cannonball.
Yeah, I can't do that.
Yeah.
Yeah, and there's the risk of me going too far back, and then I just smack my back on the water on the cannonball. Yep.
What's the highest height you guys have ever jumped from into a body of water?
Have
you ever been cliff diving or anything?
I have in Hawaii. I'd say probably maybe a three-story waterfall. So
wow.
What's that?
Yeah, 25, 30 feet?
Yeah.
That's what we do whitewater rafting.
Yeah.
Part of the rafting, at one point, they make you get out. And you don't have to if you're afraid of heights, but you climb up these rocks, and they have people literally to help you get up there, because
sure,
there are certain points you're
slippery,
like, how am I getting up?
And jagged.
Yeah. And you get up there, and you just cliff jump.
Once you're up, you're up.
Yeah.
No way down, but
no,
jumping.
That's it. And there was a lady in front of me the first time I did it. I'm like, this isn't helping me.
No.
I'm just gonna pick you up, and we're gonna go together.
And like I said, I'll jump off a lot of things, but I got to see someone do it before me.
Yep.
So that I know how deep is that water. Because I'm a big guy, I'm a tall guy, I'm going to go in. Well,
and they tell
and
you,
I don't want to break
well,
my
you,
legs.
You got to jump out. You got to jump out a little bit. I'm like, whoa. I just wanted to jump.
So you're telling me it's 4 feet right there?
Like, do I need to get a running start? Yeah. Like, what if I biff and like just kind of flop over the edge? Totally possible for me. That's this week's swimming segment.
It's awesome.
Yeah, exactly. Looking forward to a little bit of the blob. I'm sure there'll be video of it somewhere, knowing my my wife and my kids. All right, break time for us. Quick hour one of the books. Hour two coming up next with the CBD position preview. We look at the offensive line next on Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR.